It is difficult to understand the story of the temptation in the wilderness without alluding to the baptism of Jesus, which is recorded as the event immediately preceding Jesus being led into the wilderness. And the heart of that story of the baptism of Jesus is found in the voice of God. "This is my son." And the heart of the temptation is a challenge around those words of God. "If you truly are the Son of God, command these stones. If you truly are the Son of God, throw yourself down." It is a temptation around identity. It is a temptation around fidelity to who one is. In the second reading from the scriptures today, we are told that in Jesus Christ, in his suffering and dying and rising in glory, you and I are drawn into union with God, and we become children of God, daughters and sons of the living God. Not in the same way as Jesus is, but nevertheless, truly and really, daughters and sons of God. And so the story of the temptation is also an instruction to us about our identity and our fidelity. In the first temptation, Jesus is tempted to see immediate gratification as the great desire and the great need, and is tempted to compromise his trust in God. Not unlike the temptations that many of us face. The temptation to have it now. The temptation to be able to secure it now. And thus not have to trust. Not have to place our trust in God. The second temptation has to do with testing God. The tempter says, "All right, I know you trust in God, but why don't you ask God for a sign that would show that he's worthy of your trust? Throw yourself down. He said he'd take care of you. Let him show, let him demonstrate his ability and desire to do that." Not unlike the temptation that we face sometimes. We do trust God. Sometimes we demand a sign. Sometimes we try to manipulate God. Sometimes we look for assurances that the trust we're placing is true, is worth it. That's what the second temptation was about. The third temptation is about covering all your bases. The tempter takes Jesus to the top of the mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, and says, "If you worship me, you can have all of this. I'm not asking you to turn your back on God, but include me in that. Include me. Cover your bases. God can do some things for you, and I can do some things for you. Make sure that you've got everything covered, all your bets hedged, because that's the way you're going to win." We're tempted to do that. We trust in God, but then also to build up a reserve here or there. I'm showing my age a little bit, but some of us remember a wonderful character who was part of Twin Cities television for a long time. His name was Mel Jazz. And Mel would advertise everything and anything on the television. He was really a funny guy and really a very large-hearted man. Before he died, he wrote his own obituary. And he says very clearly in his obituary that he really wanted to cover all the bases. That all his life he had looked for the perfect religion. And so that memorials were to be made to Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, and B'nai B'rith. Figuring there he had the waterfront covered. Well, all of us attempt to do that sometimes. And Jesus says to the tempter, you can't do that. There is only one whom you will serve. Now, those are the three temptations in the wilderness, but there are two other temptations that Jesus has around the same issue in St. Matthew's Gospel. The fourth temptation comes in the 16th chapter. Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus says, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we're told in the gospel immediately after that, Jesus began to teach his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem. And there he would suffer greatly at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. He would be killed and then on the third day raised to life. Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. He said, Lord, this can never, ever happen to you. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are putting a stumbling block before me. You clearly think the thoughts that are human and not the thoughts of God. Peter is the tempter here. He says, I know you trust God, but I mean, let's face it, this is really serious business. Can't you cut some corners? Can't we help you to avoid some of this? It's the temptation offered by a friend. I don't want to see you hurt. Why don't you just cut a few corners? We've done that to people, to family members, to friends. Oh, don't be so strict about it. Just, you know, shave a little bit on it. Or good friends, family members have done it to us. You don't have to hold to that. You can manipulate that a little bit. Jesus insists that he will not shave corners. He will place all of his trust in God. Now there's one more temptation, and this temptation is at the very end. This temptation comes at the moment of crucifixion. We're told in the 27th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, they crucified him there with two thieves, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by jeered at him and mocked him. "This is the one who will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Come down from the cross." And the chief priests and the scribes and the elders likewise mocked him. He saved others. He can't save himself. This is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He says he trusts in God. Let God save him now if God cares. He said, "I am the Son of God." The last words of that taunting are taken from the 8th verse of Psalm 22. Let us see if God will help him, if God even wants him. The chief priests quote Psalm 22 to Jesus. Psalm 22 is a psalm in praise of God and trust in God. And Jesus rebuts that temptation. With his dying breath, he prays in trusting confidence, Psalm 22. The opening words are, my God, why have you forsaken me?" 5 times, he's tempted to reject his identity, to reject his relationship with God, to compromise that relationship. Not unlike you and I are tempted, tempted for immediate gratification, tempted to hedge our bets, tempted to cover all the bases, tempted to cut corners, and even at the end, in the darkest moment, when all hangs in the balance, tempted to say, enough is enough. Well, as we begin the season of Lent, the church wants us to take very seriously that the foundational point of what it is to be a disciple is that you and I are called to do what Jesus did. We are called to place all our trust in God.